It's the Two and Under podcast. It's Jack and Craig. We have just finished watching Newcastle absolutely hammer Spurs in what was quite of a surprising result. The game finished about 10 minutes ago, so we thought we would just jump on and do a bit of an instant reaction. I've got notes on my phone, so that was taken through the game, so we'll just talk through kind of what happened a bit, but just the overall feeling after that game, Craig. That's one massive step for us, isn't it, towards the Europa League. We are actually in sixth place now.
Yeah, it was a result none of us were expecting. I don't think many of us even predicted a win, let alone to get a result like that.
But it was just me. Thought we were going to win.
Yeah, there you go. You know, we'll put the reverse jinx on it. So like we did against Fulham, nobody thought we'd win that one. We all said we'd lose and then band-aid here. But that was a phenomenal performance from the first whistle right down to the last. Superb.
That's a combined 10-1 against Spurs at St. James's Park in the last two seasons, which is pretty outrageous, really. That's one huge step for us towards Europa League. And we've got six games left now, and I'm getting quite desperate, actually, to get in the Europa League. I didn't think I would be, but I think because we've had the taste of Europe this season, I think it'd be good just to be in the Europa, which is rather than the Conference League, just for that extra quality. We need to get in the rhythm of Europe again, you know. We don't want to get out of that, and it'll help us retain some of our players and attract some new players. So that was a big step towards that massive, massive result.
Huge.
Overall, Craig, that was probably the first time probably since before Christmas that we've put together a 90-minute performance so dominant that we deserve to win that heavily, isn't it?
I think the last time we played that well from again start to end was probably Man United at home from recent memory. And yeah, that was, we dominated from the very beginning right to the very end. There was a little spell when Spurs had some possession, but they didn't absolutely not with it, did they? They absolutely pissed poor on the ball, which was all down to our defensive shape, and credit Eddie and the lads for working on that through the week.
When you have Madison and Son, you know, got good players, you're always going to be a bit wary, but you're right. Like, they had second half, they had a bit of the ball. In fact, they had quite a lot of possession through the game. They just didn't do anything with it. They never looked like doing anything. They had a couple of unthreatening kind of shots, and we were absolutely clinical what we did. But one of the most impressive things I think about that was the defence. Considering we had Jacob Murphy at right back and we had Kraft at centre back, nobody knew what the team was going to be when the team sheet came out, because the club did this thing where they put it out in number lists instead of position lists as well. So first of all, it was quite good to see Hall and Tino were there walking into the... So we knew they were in the squad. And then when the team sheet came out, it was completely random, wasn't it? There was like, is it going to be three at the back with wing backs? Is it going to be maybe Kraft at left back? But in the end, it was Burn at left back with Kraft centre back and Murphy right back, I think, wasn't it? So to do that defensive performance with that makeshift, complete patch together defence is even more impressive, isn't it?
It genuinely is, yeah. I mean, Burn going back to left back was always going to be a worry, especially with the pace they've got down their right hand side. I thought Burn's been solid since he's moved back to left centre back, but again, he didn't put a foot wrong in this one. He's been so good over the last few games. He's got his focus and his composure back, and it's so good to see. I wonder if having that captain's armband is just giving that little bit more of an oomph and desire to want to do that little bit more on the pitch, you know.
And Spurs have only failed to score a goal in one other game this season, and that was against Fulham a couple of weeks ago. So I don't think you can actually overstate how impressive it is to keep a team as good as Spurs out, a team who is as good at attacking as Spurs, with Jacob Murphy at right back and Emil Kraft at centre back. Nobody thought we'd be in the 2024, you know, towards the end of 23-24 season with that patched, you know, with those two playing in the squad, even never mind both playing out of position. You know, kudos to Eddie Howe for doing this. And I think anybody who has been saying that Eddie Howe should be sacked, it's easy to say this after a win, but we've been saying it consistently all through. People just need to give their heads a wobble and realize that the challenges we've had this season, how impressive it's been, we've now picked up 10 points from the last possible 12. And the only goal we've conceded in the last three was that penalty against Everton when Paul Dummett lost his head. So impressive, Craig.
It is, yeah. Considering where we were actually heading, it looks as though a top half finish might even be in a bit of a struggle. But now, top six is definitely on. And we've got this little break to rest some legs and maybe get a body or two back again and go full tilt for the remaining six games.
And it's not just the defenders, the midfield as well. We're so strong in this game. Elliot Anderson just doesn't stop running, does he?
Nah.
He was a left winger when he came through. He was even a striker at one point, but he looks like he's got all of the attributes, all of the abilities to be able to play in that number eight position for an Eddie Howe team. He doesn't stop running. He's got quality on the ball. I know he came off towards the end, but he played over 90 minutes in this game. How good was he and how impressed were you with him today?
I said during the game, he's been absolutely immense. He was unlucky not to get a goal. I still can't believe he hasn't actually scored a goal in the Premier League for us, albeit that one against Forest last season should still have counted. But he was absolutely phenomenal. Considering he's one of the younger players of the squad as well, he held his own against some of the best midfielders in the world, and one of them being James Maddison, you know, absolutely superb.
Brilliant. And he had such a good pre-season and he scored a couple of goals and it looked like this was going to be his breakthrough season. He got that freak back injury which kept him out for quite a long time, but what a asset he's going to be, and he's definitely got the potential to start adding goals and assists to his game as well. So impressive. He's only 21. Brilliant. The defending from the front, the pressing was back. It was just like last season. And I want to talk about the three, four players individually in a bit, but when the forwards are defending like that with the press, and even when it's against a good team like Spurs trying to play through, it just takes pressure off the whole team, doesn't it? Because it doesn't enable them to pass through very easily. And we don't seem to have those gaps anymore that we had in between our midfield and defence. That just doesn't seem to be there anymore. That was a big feature of why we're conceding a lot of goals in December, January time. But something's changed, hasn't it, to fix that up? And I don't know whether I'm assuming it's been intentional. I don't know. I haven't got a tactical brain, but have you picked up what it is that's actually stopped us from conceding goals like we were doing so often, even though against West Ham we conceded a few?
I tell you one thing I've noticed. Longstaff, he's quietly been improving over the last few games. And we all know when he quietly goes about his business, we perform so much better as a midfield. He does the little bits that nobody likes to do. He's moving off the ball, blocking those passes, retaining possession, breaking up the play. He's one of the best in the squad for it. And again, a lot of his work off the ball goes unnoticed. And he was back to his best today, I thought.
He had quite a good game, yeah. I didn't notice him too much, but not in a bad way. Because, I mean, before the last four or five games, we were noticing him in a he's not doing very well way. Like he was giving the ball away, and he wasn't even getting stuck into tackles. Really, he was really struggling. But recently, the last two or three games, he's really picked up, and I think today probably was his best performance for quite a while. And like you said, when he plays well, the team tends to play well, or the team ticks because he's doing a lot of that grunt work that nobody else wants to do. And he's been restricted from being able to do that properly recently because he's been injured. He's been playing on one leg effectively. And it's been interesting to see a bit of conversation in the media, and he's done a few interviews. And I think there's been a bit more sympathy towards him because he started to play better as well. But yeah, I'm pleased you've highlighted him today because he did do well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk a bit more about the overall picture in a bit, but let's just have a think about the first half. It was fairly even. Werner had a decent chance, and then Mickey van der Ven. He's a good player. He's quick. He's a good defender. He's had a really brilliant season for Spurs. He had 3 minutes there, didn't he? That he will never ever want to relive again.
Oh, he had a brain fart the size of Paul Dummett a few weeks ago over the space of a few minutes of that one. Genuinely, Isak and Gordon had him on toast three times over. It was genuinely superb to see. And that that picture of him literally landing on his head with his mouth open whilst Isak tucks away the first goal, that needs to be blown up and put on the roof of the Gallagher or something, because that was superb.
It was like Phil Jones' face, wasn't it? When he was like, if you look at it in real time, you can see like he's fallen in a certain way, and he's like, his momentum's taken him onto his face, and then his body's kind of twisted on top of him. But he got booked just before those few minutes as well. So the ref was like not booking people, and then he booked him for one, which was probably not as bad as the body checks from Maddison and Dan Byrne, which could have been booked.
I think it was back chat that the ref he got booked for rather than the actual challenge. I think so.
Yeah, because it was a tackle on Gordon, and it was like him and Werner both went in, and it was hard to actually see who'd made contact. But the finish as well, though, from Isak, he's just brilliant. He's world-class footballer, and he's fit now, and he's got 20 goals for us this season in all competitions. I don't know how many games he's played, but he is just... He's had a run of games now. He's got his fitness back. He must be absolutely terrifying to play against. And he just sat under Van Down. The finish as well, though, you would expect usually maybe a finish like that to go into the other corner. But I think he kind of confused the keeper. What a good finish, Craig.
Oh, he has to be up there with the best strikers in terms of finishing ability that we've ever had. And I put him up there in same regard as Shearer. And as far as I'm concerned, he's God. But yeah, he's finishing is sublime, and we all know he's got ice running through his veins. He was the coolest man inside St. James's Park for when he took those two goals away. And the scary thing is, he's only going to get better as well. He's still young.
He's 24. If he can keep fit, he is going to be some player in the next few years. And it was good work from Gordon as well to harry the defense and to get the ball and to play the pass at the right time. You just don't really have any doubt when he gets in those positions that he's actually going to score. It was quite a bit similar to his Everton goal, where the defenders just don't know what to do they?
Mm-hmm.
And he's so cool and so calm, and he just slotted it away. The TV was busy showing a replay and showing the replay of the deaf kids as well who were there with the shirt sponsorship and stuff. And then it flashed back. You could hear the crowd when the replay was on. It flashed back. Gordon was clean through on goal as well. He smacked his in, so he's now scored against all of the big six at St. James's Park this season. Everton fans told us he was shite. Not bad for a shite lad, is he?
Nah, absolutely not. I mean, Gordon and Isak in the Premier League alone, they've got 27 goals between them, which isn't too shabby at all. But then when you're also put in the fact that they've got 9 assists between them as well, that's one hell of a return. And, you know, we've still got Miggy contributing. Barnes is getting in the swing of things as well. And Wilson's due to come back at some point. But, you know, he's only won the last two games and get injured again. But he will score. But, yeah, the contribution from them two alone this season, again, it's like, you know, Beardsley and Cole, Shearer and Ferdinand, Barnes, Cisse. It's a ridiculously good connection they've got. And long may continue.
Defenders must absolutely be terrified about these playing against these players. And Gordon gets brought down quite a lot because he just runs at people that don't know if he's going to go in or out. Interestingly, I think it's the first time he started forwards on the right hand side, and it's the first time that Barnes has played from the left with Isak and Gordon. You'd probably say that that's our strongest front three, Craig, wouldn't you? Considering. If you consider like the others are Miggy, Wilson, Murphy, I think you would say that that's our strongest front three. And it's the first time we've been able to play that front three in the 32nd league game of the season. You know, like it shows you, it makes you think, doesn't it? Where could we have been if we'd have had these three fit together for more of the season?
It's beggar's belief, isn't it? I mean, I mentioned it when the lineup was announced that having Barnes, Gordon, and Isak running towards you must be terrifying. I mean, they've just got goals galore between them. And Gordon's pace, you never know what Barnes is going to do. He's going to cut in. And Isak, he'll dance around everybody that you put in front of him and then rifle in the top corner from 25 yards out. They've all got very different attributes, but put them all together, that is one frightening front line. It is probably one of the most potent in the Premier League once they're all fully back fit. And I can't think of any other front line that may be as effective as those three. Maybe Man City have one, but there's not many out there.
Imagine this with sort of Bruno, Tonali, Joe Linton, Willock fully fit behind them. We would be in the Champions League conversation if we'd have had some of those players fit and available for even half more of the games than they have been. Like, I think it's been a really difficult season in some ways this season, but to be towards the end of the season, still with the injuries we've got, still with missing an entire team of players, and to be playing this way, the press, it was very similar actually to the Villa game and the first game of the season. And I think that's probably the biggest praise you can actually give this group of players for this game and this manager. It was similar, wasn't it, to Villa, the way we just absolutely dismantled them and they couldn't cope with what we were doing.
I mean, we all know that Ange likes a high line, and that must have been music to Eddie's ears when he's seen that lineup, saying, yep, they're going to be playing that high line. We are going to absolutely destroy them every time we get forward. And we pretty much did. They panic like there's no tomorrow. Balls getting kicked out of touch. Son wasn't getting fed anything whatsoever at all. Madison was shooting from 35 yards out. Everything we done from... even Dubs, who's had a few poor games recently, effectively, the defence, the midfield, the forward, they were all on the same wavelength. And it hasn't been like that for a good while, to be honest. Not for a full 90 minutes anyway.
Yeah, the press was coordinated. And it was probably actually a good team to play against because they do try and pass it out from the back. And they are good at doing it. You know, the goalkeeper's comfortable on the ball. The defenders are good on the ball. And they've got good midfielders who can receive it. And one of the Spurs tactics, because I had TNT Sports on for the first 60 minutes or so before it switched itself off, but they drew attention to the fact that Spurs bring their fullbacks into midfield quite often, and they've scored quite a few goals that way, and then the wide players stay really wide. They said that Eddie Howe had been watching videos of Spurs all week, which comes as absolutely no surprise. But the tactical plan he made for this and executed was absolutely perfect, wasn't it?
Oh, God. You couldn't write a better tactical plan than that. That was literally picture book. He hit the nail on the head 100% on that one. You couldn't have asked for a better game strategy than what Eddie dug out there. Him and Tyndall and his coaching staff, they've dug deep. They've knew exactly what they've needed to do, put the plan in action, and the lads have executed it to perfection.
And like we already said, when we didn't have the ball, which is quite a lot of the game, actually, we were very disciplined. The midfielders, at half-time, both Bruno and Anderson had run almost 6 kilometres each. The defence never even looked troubled, which, like we said, is pretty impressive considering the personnel that we had back there. Fabian Schär got his goal in the second half, but he was brilliant at the back as well. It's hard to believe how good he's actually been over the last few seasons for us, considering he was on his way out when Steve Bruce didn't fancy him.
That's mental, isn't it? I mean, when you think of the absolute bargains in terms of modern day game, he has to be up there. £3.5 million. I mean, that gets you nothing these days, does it? Absolutely nothing, but £3.5 million. I think that was his release clause as well for when Rafa got him. Whoever decided £3.5 million was a good enough release clause for him needs their head shaken, because that is the best bit of business we've probably done in terms of bang for buck in maybe the last 10 years or so, I'd say.
And he was a good player for Eddie Howe to inherit, because he tried to sign him for Bournemouth as well, apparently. So he obviously knew his attributes and that he was gonna fit into what he wanted to do. So at half time it was 2-0. Newcastle haven't been very good at keeping clean sheets up until the last two or three games. So were you confident at half time that we were going to see this out, or did you fear that there was going to be a point where we were going to be under the pressure a bit and we're going to have to pull something out to keep the lead?
Well, my mind went back to West Ham because they scored their third within literally minute or two of the second half, and we were then 3-1 down, I think it was at that point. So if they pull one back, yeah, could make it a little bit edgy. But again, they had nothing from it. They had no clean-cut shots, no nothing. Every ball ran loose or went out for a throw-in. Or Timo Werner played his worst possible game in a Spurs shirt, or even in England since he's arrived here. He is an awful striker, isn't he? I mean, he may be good in Germany or in another league, but he's not built for the Premier League by any stretch.
He's all right out wide, and he's got a good scoring record for Germany, but yeah, he's not. He hasn't got the finishing ability. And when you compare him with someone like Isak, who his second goal as well, couldn't really celebrate it at the time because it looked like it was offside, but then he was in his own half, and he wasn't offside anyway. He was being played on by someone, so he couldn't have been offside because he was in his own half. But again, he's got time to think about what he's going to do. He's got the pace to outpace Van de Ven, who is one of the quickest players, who is the quickest player in the league. He didn't have a good game today. And then he found the finish as well. What more can you say about him, this man, his finishing? It's an absolute pleasure and an honour to watch him play for Newcastle, isn't it?
It genuinely is. And you know what? It's even better as well. The fact that we could have ended up with Ekitike instead. But thankfully, he turned us down, went to PSG. His career has went south. We then went in for Isak, and history has now written itself, effectively. He could very well be, if he stays with us for the foreseeable, he could maybe break Shearer's record for the club. He could very well do so. He's still young, as mentioned, he's only 24. If we can get 10 seasons out of him, who knows? Maybe he does go on to break Shearer's record. He'll certainly get close, that's for sure.
It's going to be up to us as a club to be successful enough to make him want to stay, I think, isn't it? He said that he wants to stay and that he's keen on staying, but if he needs to be playing Champions League football consistently when he's in his peak years. So a bit like Bruno as well, and maybe Botman, yeah, and maybe Gordon as well. Like these players are good enough to play in the Champions League. So we need to make sure that as a club we can get up there and make that happen for them, to make them, you know, give them every reason to stay. Because they're just an absolute pleasure to watch at the moment. We've already talked about Fabian Schär, brilliant defensively today. We had about 50 corners in this game, and one right at the end, Gordon looped it. And that's been happening all game. We'd been looping corners to the back post. We'd had a couple of free-ish headers that just didn't quite land. And then Fabian Schär just planted one into the back of the net. I think he's scored 5 or 6 goals this season now as well. So yeah, when your defenders are scoring goals, and Gordon's now got 8 assists in all competitions. At the start of the season, it was my bold prediction on the prediction pod that he was going to get double figures goals and assists, so he only needs 2 more assists. If you got assists for being brought down for penalties, you'd already have broken that, but you don't. But he's been such a valuable player this season. Schär's been brilliant, and it was good for him to get his goal today, wasn't it?
Oh, God, I it's the header as well was, again, going back Shearer, almost Shearer-esque. Back post header across the goal. Keeper stood no chance. He was rooted at the spot. I think at the back of the net before he even had a chance to react. Quality header. I thought at first it was Dan Byrne, just for the type of header it was. But he leaped like a salmon, got his head onto it, and sends Gallagher into raptures, you know?
Yeah, and I wanna just talk about Schär, Gordon, Bruno, Isak for a minute, because even though I've had all of these injuries this season, those four players, especially recently, obviously Isak missed a bit earlier in the season, and he was a bit in and out, and him and Wilson were swapping. But Schär, Bruno and Gordon between them have started pretty much every game, if not every game. I think Bruno was suspended for the Bournemouth game and Gordon was suspended for Everton. But they are four of our most valuable, important players. So even though everyone's been falling around them, they've still managed to stand. And I think they are the reason why we are in sixth place at the moment and in with a chance of Europe, because those four players are quality footballers. And when you've got them in your team, you've probably always got a chance of competing in most games, even though there's been problems and there's been tactical issues. And there was the spell of games where we were conceding a lot of goals, and there's been quite a lot of chaos at times this season. But those four is a spine, not a bad spine, is it, Craig, to be able to rely on when everyone else has fallen?
Not at all. Absolutely not at all. And it's something we've talked about for a while, is having that spine of the team. Build around that spine and you get a solid foundation to move forward as a club. And that's exactly what we've done. It's probably not the spine you would pick from the squad if everybody was available, to be honest. But for who is, you couldn't ask for a better set.
Absolutely brilliant. It's such a, like I said, some of this season's been difficult, and we've been sitting here reviewing some pretty frustrating defeats and draws at home as well. So to be sixth at this point, I think it's, you can't overestimate how impressive this is. When we've still got a full team missing, I don't know how he's actually done this. I don't know how he's managed to keep the players motivated, and we've got confidence back now, and we've found a solution to the defensive problems that we were really struggling with. The West Ham comeback was maybe the turnaround to just give us that momentum. The return of Harvey Barnes, Anderson's made a huge difference, I think, when he's come in with his running and his pressing, his energy, and it lifts the whole team. Bruno, what odds would you have got on Bruno 10 games ago to go through the next 10 games without getting a yellow card, considering he just got six in a row or something like that? That is actually, that's the most staggering thing about this whole game, this whole run, this whole season, that Bruno has managed to avoid a yellow card for 10 games. Nobody thought he was going to do that, Craig.
No way. If you'd get better odds on a purple unicorn flying over St. James's Park, you really would. It's genuinely beggars belief, but it just shows the professionalism, the mentality and the discipline that he has. It is genuinely world-class. He's an absolute phenomenon, and he's arguably the best player we've had at the club probably since Johan Cabaye in terms of a midfield position. He's absolutely superb. And the fact that his best mate is now staying at the club as well hopefully persuades Bruno not to go to France, Spain, or wherever he's been rumoured to go to these days. But yeah, he's absolutely sensational. Love the man, and I think we all do.
I think it's pretty apparent that he loves playing for Newcastle. And I know, you know, fans can say that about players, but he does. Like, he does genuinely seem to love and enjoy the area. He's had his kids here and stuff like that. So I don't think you'll want to go unless there's an offer, you know, that you can't refuse, or it's a big offer for the club as well. But let's just enjoy him while he is, while we do have him, because he's been so good. And to have had the discipline and the leadership, you knew how important he was. The stats with and without him are still quite amazing. I think we've only won something like, he's only missed something like seven games since he came into the team. I think over those seven games, we've only won one. So something like that. He's just integral to everything. And towards the end, I was saying, let's just get him off now. You know, we need to bring him off because we don't want to take any more risks. And then he did come off.
Romero tried it though, didn't he?
Romero tried to get him, yeah, but Romero had a little go at him at the end. Don't know what that was about, but and early kickoffs. We've gone from not being able to win the early kickoffs, and we've just had the West Ham game, and then this. They're nice, aren't they, in Australia? It's 9:30 kickoff, so it's only just gone midnight. This is usually what time games kick off for us. So
it is, yeah.
You got to bed at a reasonable time tonight, Craig.
I might have gotten to bed, but I've never gotten a kip. I'm gonna have watched the highlights again, that type of thing. But that was perfect timing. All games kickoff like that wouldn't be too bad. Must be great for those over in Perth, I'd imagine.
Oh yeah, they get this all the time, don't they? So let's just have a little look, think ahead then. So we've got about 10 days until we play Palace, which is a midweek. We haven't got a game next weekend because it was due to be Man U, who were in FA Cup action. So the remaining games are Palace away, we've got Sheffield United at home, Burnley away, Brighton at home, and then we've got Man U away and Brentford away. So we are sixth now. We're above West Ham and Man U, who've got games on us, although we've played the same amount as West Ham now, but then they'll have played by tomorrow. So it's looking quite positive that we're going to be in this battle until the end of until the very end of the season at least. And we still don't know whether sixth, seventh, eighth, what's going to be good enough to get into Europe this season. But from where we were after the Man City game, where we did a podcast about whether the season's now over, you know, and there's been various points this season where we've all said things like, let's just end the season now. You know, like even after Everton, it felt like that because it was such a disappointing way to concede a goal at the end. But from where we were, Craig, to now, this is just really good, isn't it? We need to enjoy this.
Yeah, it's literally been black and white from how it was a good number of weeks ago. We were on a downward trajectory, players falling off left, right, and centre. We're naming three keepers on the bench again, or whatever, three keepers in total, sorry. And we think, oh God, here we go, an endless cycle of dross and players just diving, just falling into the treatment room. But yeah, we are slowly getting players back. Trips hopefully should be back for the Palace game, I think Eddie said. So that should help from that one. And there's going to be a bit more minutes in the legs of Hall and Tino. So again, more names on the bench. And I think Miley is due back soon as well. So that'll give a bit of a help for our midfield, just a few extra minutes in his legs and breathing room for maybe Longstaff, who is due a break, to be honest.
Yeah, he's deserved one. You know, he's been playing on, like we said, he's been playing on one leg for the whole season. So, and let's just, as a fan base, let's just never, I'm not saying you can't question the manager. I'm not saying when things go wrong, you can't question him and criticize some of his decisions. But let's just never say he should be sacked, please. Like,
I mean, not one of us on this podcast has ever said Eddie should go. I don't think we ever would, unless things got so bad to the point where time would make a change. But there's never been any one point of this season where it's even been in the back of our minds to think Eddie should go.
And Toon Polls did a survey not that long ago about whether it was something like whether you would trust Eddie, whether Eddie Howe should be given next season or something like that. And something like 40% said no and 60% said yes. So there definitely was, at least on social media, a bit of a groundswell against him at some point. And consistently through it, people like me were just saying, let's just realize the context he's working in. Let's let the mitigation. And then we had the Villa win. And then after that, it was a bit disappointing. The home games against Bournemouth and Luton. But it was all been in the context of this injury situation. And now he's managed to, even despite the injury, pull out a result like this, you know, with a couple of players like Barnes and Anderson coming back in, which has been really helpful. But I'm just so happy that he's our manager, you know, and I always will be, I think, as long as he's here. He's done such a good job, and he's proven himself again, isn't he, Craig, now this season?
Absolutely. I wouldn't swap him for the world. You know, a lot of people turn around and say how good of a job Ange has done at Spurs. Yes, he has done a good job. Would I swap him for Reddy right now? Absolutely not. Is there any other manager in world football I would swap already right now? Probably not, because nobody gets the club right now as much as Eddie does. And he's got those players singing to his hymn sheet once again. And when we're on form, like we've just seen against that Spurs lot, when we're on fire, nobody can stop us. We are a formidable force going forward. And these next six games, those teams better watch out, because if we do anything half as good as that against Palace, we'll turn them over 5-6-0. We really will.
And it's a little break before Palace as well, which is good. Like you said, get some players back. Right, it is 10 minutes past midnight. I think it's time to say goodnight, go and have a little bit of a shower, go to bed, and then I'll be up in about 5 hours with my kids. So anyway, at least I'll be up and I'll be happy and I'll be in a good mood, which is always the best thing about being in Australia when you wake up and you've got the next day and you've won a match. It's great, isn't it?
Superb. If you want to say good night, I'll say good morning, technically.
All right, fair enough. Good night, good morning. Cheers, Craigie.
No worries.
See you all soon. Bye.
Blah.